Thank you for this time that you have given us, Father. We thank you for the way in which you are bringing us forth, O God, in the power and excellence of the name of Jesus, Father. We thank you that we are indeed being fashioned by the Holy Spirit in Jesus' fullness, Father. That fullness is being made manifest in us, O God, because that is your will and your purpose. As you continue to mold us, as you continue to shape us, Father, with gratitude in our hearts, we thank you for persevering with us, Father. We thank you, O God, that we are the handiwork, O God, of your striving, Father. For you have strived with us, O God, and we know that we will indeed come forth in the victory of the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is being fashioned into us in many different ways, Father. And as he comes alive in us, each one of us is coming forth uniquely as an expression of his fullness, a new creation in Christ Jesus. And we are grateful for this creation. Father, as you continue, O Lord, to open the realities of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, Father, we pray that everything that is within us will be fashioned, O God, in the reality and understanding of all that you have given us in Christ Jesus, brought alive in us in truth by the Holy Spirit, so that our lives will grow through Jesus, that our lives will discover the reality of doing all things supernaturally, Father, through Christ who strengthens us. We pray for such a reality to come forth in Jesus' name. Teach us, O God, your word. Holy Spirit, we commit this time into your hands, and we pray that the word will be written into us and brought alive into us by, with understanding, so that we will know Jesus, O God, that the true, full, and perfect knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ will be fashioned into the very substance of our being. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are doing the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. Last week we did an introduction of the law of the Spirit. Let us now read verses 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. And last week we said that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is established in four basic realities called the law of faith, the law of righteousness, the law of love, and the law of holiness. Today we want to talk about the law of faith. Today we want to talk about the law of faith. The law of faith. Everything in our lives begins with faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. And he who comes to God must believe that he is. So the purpose of faith is to realize the reality that he is. Verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Faith is substance of hope, the evidence. The evidence is that God is. And that's the evidence of true faith. That's the evidence of true faith. The law of faith simply says that everything that comes out of faith must be established in the fact that God is. God is. And God is to us through Christ Jesus. When Jesus Christ comes alive to us, we have come alive to who God is. Because God has chosen to unveil himself to us through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to know God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to realize who he is. We come to feel who he is. We come to know who he is. We come to relate to him through all that Jesus is unveiled to us as. Now Jesus comes to us by the Holy Spirit. And that is the reality that is called the law of life, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Everything in faith has to be established in Christ Jesus. It has to be brought alive in us by the Holy Spirit. And that's very important. Because faith is very, very important. Faith is important because faith establishes everything in which God is going to work in our lives. Faith establishes everything that God is going to use to bless you and to use you as a blessing amongst His people or for His own purposes. So it is very important that we understand that faith is the building block in which God does everything. God says, I am. And He communicates the fact that He is through faith. If there was no such thing as faith, God would not be able to communicate with us. So God chooses something called faith to enable us to discover that He is. Now, He is the testimony of I am, right? Can you catch that? I am who I am is the name of God. I am that I am is the name of God. He is comes to us as who He is and all that He is. One tells you who He is, the other tells you all that He can be in your life. And in that process, God enables you and me to live. God enables you and me to live. All right? That faith, God didn't just leave as a chance thing to us. That faith is something that has been given to us. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we will read from the first verse to the fourth verse. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Simon Peter here declares something very important. He says that faith is received. We receive faith. We receive faith by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. We receive faith by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. God did something for us. He did something and He expressed something for us. He accomplished something awesome for us. And in that process, He established a faith that would enable us to grow in Him. He established a faith that would supernaturally change us. All right? So this is a very important fact of faith that we don't often hear of. We always talk about having faith in God. Here Peter goes one step behind that. Before you can have faith in God, God has to first give you faith. God has to first give you faith. And He says, you must first receive this faith. You must receive this faith from your God and Savior Jesus Christ. From all that has been done in Him and by Him and through Him. The righteousness of God has been made manifest unto us through the faith of Jesus Christ. All right? So, let's start with that, okay? So, there's something called faith that has to be received. That's the first part of the law of faith. Faith has to be received in Christ Jesus. It has to be His faith that you receive. There has to be something that is perfect before we start anything else. If we just look at faith as coming from us, as being denominated from ourselves, then that faith is going to be tainted by everything that we have as a weakness inside of us. So Peter realizes something that is very important. He realizes that the faith that he has received, now Peter did amazing things in his ministry. But at the end of his life, he wrote this part of 2 Peter just before he was going to die. In fact, in verse 13 or 14, he says that the Lord told him that it is time for him to go. So here is the old man Peter talking. The young man Peter ran away from Jesus. The old man Peter was told that he was going to die and he did not run. And he's giving you the underlying power that keeps him going, and it's the faith that he has received from his God and Savior. He does not say, my faith. It is obviously his faith. But he says, this faith that I have received from my God. He has given it to me. He has enabled me to live by him. And for that I am grateful. Let's carry on. What does he say? To those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. This faith comes to us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. And then he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. He changes from faith to then coming to know God. Right? He says, once you can understand the faith that comes to you from God, the faith that is given to you by God, you will then come to know God. You will understand what grace and peace means because you will grow in it. It will be part and parcel of your life. Out of that faith will come a realization of grace and the peace that will establish God's covenant into your heart, God's promises in your life. Right? You will come alive to the true knowledge of God. Why? Because faith ultimately tells you that God is, correct? Faith ultimately tells you that God is. Now, faith is the substance of hope, the evidence of the unseen. The Greek word for substance in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 is hypostasis, and we've done teaching on that. And we have said that that Greek word hypostasis is a very, very powerful word. If we turn back to Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, we will find two applications of the word hypostasis that are very, very wonderful. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. And he is the radiance of his glory. Now he there is Jesus, is the radiance of his glory, the Father's glory, and the exact representation of his nature. If you have a King James version of the Bible or a New King James version of the Bible, you will find that it is said that he is the exact image of his person, right? The word person as translated in the King James version and the word nature as translated in the New American Standard is the Greek word hypostasis. All right? So, taking what Peter has said and understanding that faith comes from God, we begin to see that the substance of faith comes from the person and the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? That the power of faith is because it comes alive, it has the potential of bringing to you the person and the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith becomes that substance. All right? That substance. That substance that enables you to become a partaker of Christ. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14, and I'm reading from the King James Version. For we are made partakers of Christ. I want you to note the language, all right? We are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence. The Greek word for confidence is hypostasis. Steadfast until the end. We are made partakers of Christ. How are we made partakers of Christ? Through this amazing substance that comes alive in us. This substance that is of his person and his nature. Right? So Peter is making a big statement. He says, the faith that I have, the strength in which I stand, is entirely given to me by my God. It is the faith that has come to me by the righteousness of my God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now from Hebrews we know that that faith is constructed in the substance of Jesus' person and Jesus' nature. And that substance comes inside our heart as an evidence. And then evidence is a confidence, right? That establishes you and me as partakers of Christ. Can you catch that? Partakers of Christ. We live by Jesus Christ through that faith that is given to us. And then that becomes our faith in God, our faith by which we do all things. Can you catch that? Okay. So faith comes to us from the Lord Jesus Christ. We must always understand where everything originates from. All right, let's look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. And in him you have been made complete. And in him you have been made complete. And in him you have been made complete. Okay? You have been made complete. How have you been made complete? Because you are being made a partaker in Christ. Are you with me? It is being made alive to you in substance. Substance, hypostasis, all right? Substance, that substance is being fashioned into you. John chapter 1, verse 16. John chapter 1, verse 17. Of his fullness, we have all received. Whose fullness? Jesus Christ's fullness. The fullness of his person, the fullness of his nature. Right? Of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. That means all by grace. It is by grace. How is that grace made manifest to us? By faith. Right? Without faith, you cannot receive God's grace. All right? So how is his fullness made manifest to us? By faith. All right? For the law was given through Moses. But grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, realized. It becomes a confidence. The confidence is substantive, hypostasis. It is an evidence. It is an evidence of the Lord Jesus Christ supernaturally manifested inside of you and me. That confidence is of his person and of his nature. In John 6, Jesus says, unless you eat of my flesh, you will have no life in you. All right? This is the living bread that came down out of heaven. John 6, 51. Let's read that. John 6, 51. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. The bread is my flesh. What is this flesh that he is talking about? That flesh is the substance that describes his person and his nature into us, so that we are fashioned in his image. We are fashioned in his image, all right? Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. How is that creation fashioned? In hypostasis. The hypostasis of Jesus' person and nature. It is a derivative realization. All right? This does not make us God, but what it does make us is a creation in his fullness, a creation in Christ Jesus. We are fashioned in his fullness, manifested to us in derivative terms, subordinate terms, in fully dependent terms. Are you with me? We are partakers of Christ. We are partakers of Christ. And that reality is a confidence inside of us. So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus says that everything has to be established in Christ Jesus. So faith has to come alive in us in Christ Jesus. Otherwise, everything else about faith will go haywire. If something is not built in Christ Jesus, it cannot come forth in the truth. Because Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the truth. It is not just being alive to a set of principles. It is alive, being alive in and by and through a person. I am the life, Jesus said. I am the life. Okay? And that life comes to us in the very substance of his person and his nature, made alive in us by his spirit. Okay? That reality is what you call, is given to us as Rhema, John chapter 6, verse 63. John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. Here, the Spirit means the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Whose spirit and whose life? Since the words are his words, the spirit and the life are his spirit and his life. His spirit and his life communicate the realities of his person and his nature. When his spirit and his life come inside of us, they form the substance of our faith. Can you catch that? They form the substance of our faith. And in the end result, we become partakers of Christ. We become partakers of Christ. So that is the foundation of faith. Jesus Christ, our Lord, alive in us and fashioning everything inside of us. Everything inside of us must be built on the Lord Jesus Christ. If it's not built on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not going to bring forth the supernatural results that God wants to bring forth. He's talking about a creation in Christ Jesus. Once you realize it is a creation, you realize that no human being can create. No human being can create. So the great apostle says, my faith I have received from my Lord. It has been given to me by the righteousness of my God. That means my God has done a great thing with me. He has taken me and he's made me something entirely beyond me. He has made me something entirely beyond me. And in gratitude, all I can say is that this faith that I have, a great faith though it may be, it has entirely been given to me by my Lord and my God. Can you catch that? Okay, let's look at another two verses. Let's turn to Romans chapter 3, verse 20. And 21. Romans chapter 3. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. I'm reading from the Old King James Version in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ, not faith in Jesus Christ. A lot of the modern translations have changed that to faith in Jesus Christ. The faith of Jesus Christ, all right? The faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is a world of a difference between the faith of Jesus Christ and faith in Jesus Christ. The old King James translators pick the Greek word there as of instead of in. So it says, and this is consistent with what we read in Peter, right? Peter says, my faith I have received by the righteousness of my God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here Paul, in the King James translation, is writing that the righteousness of God witnessed by the law and prophets is manifested through the faith of Jesus Christ unto us and upon us who believe. Unto us and upon us who believe. The faith of Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. God did something for us that we would have been unable to do no matter who we are. He manifested a realm of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ so that we could all receive that faith and live through that faith. develop that faith as our faith in God, and that would change us. Can you catch that? Faith must be true. God is the truth. If God is the truth, Jesus said, I am the truth, then true faith must come from God. It has to come from Him. If it does not come from Him, right? It has got no basis, right? For purity. So the faith of Jesus Christ is what we need to catch there. All right? The faith of Jesus Christ unto us and upon us who believe. Now you can see everything as being possible. Once you realize that it is the faith of Jesus Christ that causes the changes inside of you, once you understand that it is the faith of Jesus Christ that you need to catch hold of, that must fashion your faith in God, you now have a basis to understand that everything is possible. Everything that Jesus said is possible. Greater things than this will you do, because I go to the Father. What was so special about Him going to the Father? Because His going to the Father would have established a place for us. A place with Him. A place in Him. A place by Him. A place through Him. Can you catch that? What is that place that He occupied? The place that He occupied was established in His faith in God. Are you with me? The place that He occupied was established in the merits of His faith. And in that faith, are you with me? In that faith, He would be able to justify a new race of men. Are you with me? Can you catch that? Let me show you another verse. 2 Corinthians. I seem to have missed that verse. Let's carry on with something else for the time being. Something about how we are justified. We are justified by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit. But before we do that, let's turn to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Again, I want to read from the Old King James Version. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. I'm reading from the Old King James. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. If you look at the modern translations, it has been changed from faith of the Son of God to faith in the Son of God. Are you with me? So in the Old King James Version, right? The translation is that we live by the faith of the Son of God. Right? The faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. The clue there is that He gave Himself for me. And in that process of giving Himself for me, His fullness, in that fullness that He established, right, I have received something that is of Him, His faith. And that faith, when it becomes my faith, when I take ownership of His faith through His testimony, that faith can move mountains. Can you catch that? That faith can move mountains because that faith is a perfect faith. That faith can go into the mount of the Lord because it is a pure faith. It is a pure faith because it is entirely established in the testimony of Jesus. Can you catch that? It is entirely established in the testimony of Jesus. In the book of Revelation chapter 19 verse 10, it says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Right? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What does the term spirit of prophecy mean? Spirit means the anointing. All right? That anointing that will fulfill the prophetic word, the anointing that will enable the prophetic word. And it comes out of the testimony of Jesus. How was the testimony of Jesus established? By the faith of Jesus Christ. Romans 3:21 says, the faith of Jesus Christ unto us and upon us who believe. Correct? That faith, right, is an expression of the righteousness of our God. God sent his Son into the world to express a faith, right, that will enable us to achieve what we would otherwise be totally and comprehensively unable to achieve. The faith of Jesus Christ is the faith that changes us. The faith of Jesus Christ is the faith that changes us. So the law of faith says that faith has to be in Christ Jesus. It must be of Christ Jesus. It must be alive in him and by him and through him. That is the faith that will enable all things in your life and my life to come forth with a power and excellence that will manifest the righteousness of God. Are you with me? What is your destiny and my destiny? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. What is your destiny and what is my destiny? And he put all things in subjection under his feet, that is the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and gave him as head over all things to the church. He's the head of all things, but the expression of that authority is going to be through the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Notice the way it's phrased, all right? The church is the body of Christ. The body of Christ is meant to be the fullness of him. Who is to fill all in all? The church will express the fullness of him. But the fullness must be entirely of him. He must fill all in all. Can you catch that? He must fill all in all. Not our ideas of who he is, our ideas of what he is, but who he really is. Are you with me? Who he really is. The body is supposed to express his fullness. John 1:16 says, of his fullness we have all received. So the law of faith says that everything that is of Jesus is to find expression in you and me. It is then to be brought alive by the Holy Spirit so as to fill all in all. Okay? By whom? By Jesus Christ. Are you with me? All right? So once you understand that what God is fashioning into you is of the faith of Jesus Christ. Now everything in the Bible, every promise is possible. Right? Every promise is possible because of the faith of Jesus Christ. Can you catch that? Every promise is possible. Everything written in Scripture becomes a possibility because of the faith of Jesus Christ. Everything becomes possible. And that's what we need to understand. Okay? Because the law of life says that by Christ Jesus, through the Spirit, God will surely make us live. He will surely make us live. And the life that we will live will be of the stature of the righteousness of our God. Are you with me? Not the righteousness of man. Our righteousnesses are all filthy rags. Isaiah 64, verse 6. Our righteousnesses are all filthy rags. That means anything that is of ourselves is by definition filthy before God. Let's read that. I like that especially from the Old King James Version. Let's read that from Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Anything that is self-denominated, anything that is not received of God, is by definition filthy. Catch it? Anything that is not of God is by definition filthy. Right? Clear? Very precise? Right? So if your faith is your faith, entirely of yourself, it ain't going to go very far. Can you catch that? It's going to corrupt everything. If everything in your life is being based on your faith of what you think things should be, then by definition, it is going to bring forth unrighteousness. Because your righteousness and my righteousness is by definition filthiness. That's why the substance of faith must be of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It must be of his nature. Otherwise, it will not be of the truth. That which is not of the spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ is not the truth. That's why Jesus very precisely defined truth. I am the truth. So how does I am come to us? In his spirit and in his life, through his Rhema words. Catch it? And in that Rhema words, he fashions our witness, right? According to a faith that is entirely of him. And that becomes our faith in him. He gives us a possession. He gives us an inheritance and a possession that is entirely of his name. It is of his fullness. Now in that fullness, we can then walk in a newness of life that is entirely by the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21 says, we become the righteousness of God. Now isn't that exciting? While 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In him, or by him, or through him. Right? We become the righteousness of God. So while our righteousnesses are all filthy rags, God has on the other hand called us forth so that we can become the righteousness of God in him. Amen? So the law of faith says that when everything is done, we will become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So the law of faith leads into the law of righteousness, which we shall do next week. But today what we want to establish is that the law of faith is entirely of the substance of Christ Jesus. It must be. All right? And in order to orchestrate that reality, God sent the Holy Spirit into us. Let's read the passages of Scripture. John 16, verse 13 to 15. John 16. Verse 13 to 15. For when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Now who is the truth? Jesus says, I am the truth. Can you catch that? For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. Why does he say whatever he hears, he will disclose to you? You see? God has by his righteousness unveiled the Lord Jesus Christ. We are required to respond to him. In that response, our faith in Christ is established. In that response, we draw from the faith of Jesus Christ. And in that response, our faith in Christ is established. And the Holy Spirit is the one who fashions that faith inside of us. He fashions that faith inside of us. All right? What does he do? Verse 14. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. How does God disclose anything to us? Through understanding. Where does understanding come from? Understanding comes through faith. Where do we find that? Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3. By faith we understand. That's all I want to take from there. By faith we understand. The first three words in that verse. By faith we understand. So he says here in John 16 verse 14, the Holy Spirit will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, for the Holy Spirit will take of mine and shall disclose it to you. What is Jesus Christ? What is it that Jesus says is his? By faith, right? Everything that he claims to be his is by faith, right? Correct? Do you understand that? Everything that he has taken possession of is by faith, right? Everything that Jesus Christ has taken possession of is by faith. His faith in his Father, his faith in his own destiny and his purpose, right? Can you catch that? He shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you, make it come alive in you. Amen? He shall make it come alive in you. Okay? What does verse 15 say? Everything that is of the Father's is mine. Right? All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. How will he disclose it to you? Through faith. Through faith, God gives us understanding and knowledge. All right? Through faith, God gives us understanding and knowledge. Through faith, God gives us understanding and knowledge. But what is this understanding and knowledge? It is of his name, right? Remember when we started this teaching series, we said we picked a verse from Psalm 138, verse 2, that God has glorified his word according to all of his name. God has glorified his word according to all of his name. Are you with me? Jesus came to manifest the name of the Father. John 17:6 says, I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. I manifested thy name. Manifested. How did he manifest? Not simply by make-believe, all right? He manifested it substantively inside of us, all right? Okay? It comes alive in us as a realization, as hypostasis, fashioned in the spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ, fashioned into us so that we can become partakers of the divine nature. So faith enables that to come alive in us. Okay? So as long as you keep your focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, this reality of his faith will come alive in you. As long as you make efforts to search for the testimony of Jesus, to unveil it, to understand it, to taste it, to make it become part of your life, you will find that in that whole process, the faith of Jesus Christ will come alive in you. And you will find that you have a supernatural growth that you can't explain. You suddenly have strength, you have a confidence, you have an astonishing, right, depth inside of you. And you wonder where it came from. Who gave you that strength? Who gave you that incredible depth? Right? It's being built into you. All right? So the Bible says that Enoch walked with God, right? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. The question I have for you is, whose faith? Whose faith? By whose faith was Enoch taken up? And he was not found because God took him up. God took him up. But God took him up through a faith that God engineered inside of him. Do you catch that? For he obtained the witness. He obtained the witness. That witness is a witness of faith. He obtained the witness. Enoch obtained the witness. From whom did he obtain the witness? He obtained that witness from Almighty God. He obtained that witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. That witness came alive in him. That same witness God is bringing alive in you and me. Correct? This is he who comes by the blood and the water. It is a person who comes by the blood and the water. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6 and verse 8. All right. This is he who comes by the water and the blood. It is a person. He was slain from the foundation of the world. Revelation chapter 13 verse 8, King James Version. Alright? The Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. Whose witness did Enoch receive? The witness that was true and faithful. The eternal witness of God, brought alive to him by the Lord Jesus Christ. That witness he obtained, that faith he received, and that faith enabled his faith in God to be true. So powerful that he was taken. God could take him through his response, all right? In his response, he received a faith that was entirely beyond his understanding. Are you with me? Catch it? Faith was entirely God's gift to him. It was given to him. God nurtured that faith inside of him. And when that faith came inside of him, he was taken. That's how the bride of the Lamb is going to be taken. The witness will come inside of them. That witness will come inside of them. How? By the faith of Jesus Christ for them. The bridegroom will come for his bride. And the bride will know that that bridegroom was coming for her. The bride will know it from a witness that is built into them by the Spirit in Jesus' name. In the Old Testament, you find Elijah come out of nowhere and say, I stand before God by the words of my mouth, it will not rain. Where on earth did he get that witness that he was standing before God? That by the words of his mouth, it would not rain. What was so special about the words of his mouth? You see, it was all in the witness, right? That witness was the witness of God. God had manifested something into him. He received it, right? There were two parts to it. One was something God gave him, and another was his response to God. And in his response to God, he knew that, right? And in the fact that he stood before God, he said, by the words of my mouth, it will not rain. But the words of his mouth were not coming just from him. They were coming from God. They were God's words given to him. Right? Are you with me? Catch it? Okay. In the same process God has made alive in all of us. That's why Jesus fulfilled the prophets. So you need to understand that everything in the prophets, Daniel, Elijah, Elisha, everything has been fulfilled by Jesus Christ and is available to the Christian. Everything. The wisdom of Daniel, the excellence of Joseph, right? The awesome authority and power of Elijah and Elisha. All right? We shall not go through all the prophets that cried and suffered, all right? All right, but what we need to catch here is that witness that God gives us by his faith. All right? So why did Jesus come? To establish a faith for a new man. So that a new race of human beings will live by faith in God. Are you with me? Why did Jesus come? For many things. But one of the primary reasons was to establish an actual reality of true faith in God that will enable the human race to live forever by faith in God and never again by faith in themselves. And never again by faith in themselves. By faith in God. Amen. And so that faith is communicated to us through the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is open to us by God the Holy Spirit. It is his ministry. Alright? Again, let me not forget about the witness. Alright? Revelation chapter 3 verse 14. The witness that Enoch received, what kind of witness was it? Revelation chapter 3 verse 14. I'm going to read the second half of that verse. This is Jesus Christ, the Lord, speaking. And he says, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this. The beginning of the creation of God says this, the Amen. Who is the Amen? He is the Amen. The true and faithful witness. Who is the true and faithful witness? The Lord your God has made manifest the true and faithful witness through the testimony of Jesus. And in that true and faithful witness comes the beginning of the creation of God. Where are we being created? In Christ Jesus. And the rest of creation will come forth in the perfection and completion through the bride of the Lamb. All right? So that's our destiny in the future. Okay? But what we need to catch here is that that true and faithful witness comes to us in the substance of faith. It is true because it is of the name of God. It is faithful because it came out of the cross. It is a witness of the blood. All right? And the blood is faithful. The faithfulness of God is what anchors your faith. Can you catch it? True faith is built on the faithfulness of God. Otherwise, what kind of faith is it? Are you with me? When you understand the faithfulness of God, your faith is true faith. When you and I understand the faithfulness of our God, the truth of our God, our faith is built on the rock. Who is the rock? Right? Who is the rock? Jesus said, right? Upon this rock I will build my church. Right? What rock is that? Let's turn back to the book of Genesis. That rock is a rock of faith. That rock is a rock of faith. That rock is a rock of faith. Genesis chapter 49 from verse 22 to verse 26. Joseph is a fruitful bough. A fruitful bough by a spring. Its branches run over a wall. The literal translation of the Hebrew word for bough there is son. Joseph is a fruitful son. A fruitful son by a spring. Its branches run over a wall. What kind of branches run over the wall? Branches of the vine, right? You are the true, Jesus is the true vine. We are his branches, right? Fruitful sons, bearing fruit in his fullness, all right? So Joseph is a fruitful bough by a spring. Its branches run over a wall. The archers bitterly attacked him. Is that your experience in life? Then you're okay. You're walking in the right way. The archers bitterly attacked him and shot at him and harassed him. But his bow remained firm, and his arms were agile from the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Out of all that, God builds a faith that stands in the reality of the stone of Israel. So faith is meant to establish the rock upon which your life is built. And that rock is meant to express the fullness of the Lord your God. The stone of Israel is also called Ebenezer. All right? The name of God that is called Ebenezer. Ebenezer, the stone of Israel. Okay? All right. Ebenezer, the stone of Israel. Where do we find that? I hope I can find that one. Samuel. Anyway, it's somewhere in the book of Samuel. I don't seem to have got the right one. It's either in 1 Samuel, it's either in the 6th verse, 6th chapter, or the 7th chapter. Okay, Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 7. From verse 10, now Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, and the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day against the Philistines and confused them, so that they were routed before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them down as far as below Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and named it Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped me. Ebenezer, the stone of Israel. Thus far has the Lord helped me. So in all of that bitter acrimony against us, God is building a faith. All right? God is building a faith, a rock upon which our lives will be built. That faith is entirely in Christ Jesus. He is the rock. All right? Can you catch that? He is the rock. So the faith again has to be in Christ Jesus, and that faith has to be brought alive by the Holy Spirit so that it will remain the truth, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. We have no capacity of truth in ourselves. Truth comes from God. That's why God says, I am the truth. Take God out of the picture and there is no longer truth. Take God out of the picture and there is no longer truth. So true faith is established in God and by God and through God. And how does God establish it? Through Christ Jesus. By bringing Him alive in us. By bringing His testimonies alive in us. And as His testimonies are received in us, His faith forms inside of us. His faith enables us to understand new things, to realize new things. We come alive with a new kind of knowledge, right? And our faith is built through all that comes alive in us through the testimony of Jesus. Our faith expresses Jesus' faith made alive in us. Can you catch it? Faith brings forth understanding. But where does the understanding come from? Understanding comes from the faith of Jesus for us. So as the testimony of Jesus comes into us, we begin to understand things in a new way. Right? In a new way. In that understanding, His faith finds form and substance inside of us. That becomes our faith. Right? And in that faith, we are able to live a different kind of life. We are able to see new things in God. We are able to take hold of new realities in God. But when we take possession of these things, we must all understand that there is only one provider. He is Yahweh Jireh. So when you have faith, strong faith, great faith, faith to move mountains, it is still all the provision of God. Amen? That's why it is said, on the mount of the Lord it will be provided. Nobody can cook up the mount of the Lord. So if you are taken up to the mount of the Lord, that faith that establishes you in the mount of the Lord is the faith of the Lord your God. Are you with me? It has been given to you. Right? I am who I am. Who can know who God is? So if you enter into the mount of the Lord, you have entered into a reality of God. Right? Because this mount of the Lord is limitless. So if you have entered into the mount of the Lord, you have entered into the mount of the Lord according to the faith that you have received by the righteousness of God. Right? That's what Peter is saying. My faith I have received by the righteousness of my God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Right? Amazing things. All right? What is he saying? Everything that my life is today is because my God has established that faith inside of me. All right? I owe it to him. When I tried to express my faith in him, I ran away. Then I was strong. Then I was young. Now I am old. But now I am really strong. My strength is true strength. Now I will not run away, because the faith that is inside of me has been given to me. That faith is the faith of my Savior who went to the cross for me. And the strength by which he went to the cross is the faith that I have inside of me. Can you catch it? Amen. That's why Jesus said, greater things than these you will do. Because once you come alive in me, everything that I have done will become the foundation of new things that you will walk into. And these are new things that will come forth forever and ever and ever. Right? New things. But in everything, I will be the foundation. Right? Knowledge, wisdom, right? If you read through the Bible, you will find that knowledge, wisdom, understanding, all realities built in the Holy One. All right, let's look at a couple of verses. Proverbs 9:10. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Where does understanding come from? By faith. What does that understanding reveal to you? That God is. If God is, then you have something called knowledge. The knowledge of whom? The knowledge of the Holy One. You come to know Jesus. His testimony is not something written in a book. It's a testimony written in your heart. A testimony alive in your life. It is a testimony by which you live, move, and have your being. It is a testimony that is fashioned inside of you. It is alive inside of you. That is understanding. Where does that understanding come from? By faith. Whose faith? Jesus' faith that has become your faith in him. Jesus' faith that has become your faith in him. Now you can understand all things. Let's turn to Colossians. You can understand all things because you have the mind of Christ. Colossians chapter 2. That their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth, and this is the part we want to focus on, to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding. Full assurance of understanding. Where did we find that before? That is the evidence of your faith, right? The full evidence of understanding resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself. Right? What did we read in Hebrews? That we become partakers of Christ. How? In a confidence. Right? That confidence is the assurance that is being taught here. The assurance of understanding. It is not just blind faith. Faith is not blind. Stupidity is blind, but faith is never, never, never blind. Faith is full of understanding. The Lord our God is absolutely real. He personifies knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Yet there is a peace that passeth all understanding to carry us through things that we don't understand too. All right, anyway. Right, the full assurance of understanding resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So everything is in Christ. Right? It is in Christ Jesus. We have to draw it out. So the next time you read about Jesus Christ, don't simply read it as if you're reading about somebody else. You listening? Don't just read it as if you're reading it about somebody else. You're reading about someone who is your life. That's why when Jesus ended his prayer in John 17 verse 26, he ended with these words, I in them. Let's turn back and see that. John 17 verse 26. John 17 was the prayer the high priest made over the lamb before his death. Verse 26 reads, I have made thy name known to them, and will make it known that the love wherewith thou didst love me may be in them, and I in them. What is so special about I in them? Everything. Because you and I will manifest the fullness of him. Are you with me? So how does the fullness of him come to us? Through that faith. Whose faith? His faith that becomes your faith. Amen. Catch this. His faith that becomes your faith. Now you can walk on water. No problem. It's only a question of time. It is only a question of time. It's only a question of receiving that witness that Enoch received. It took Enoch 300 years to receive that witness. I assure you when we are taken up by as the bride of the Lamb, it would not have taken us 300 years to receive that witness. Are you with me? So there is a greater power at work amongst us today. We are living in the end times. Right? Jesus is coming back for his bride. The bride must be prepared to receive that witness. That witness is of the beloved. That witness is of David. If we do not understand the Lord Jesus Christ as David, we know nothing. So that's the third part of our law of the Spirit, all right? The reality of David. The law of love, okay? So as we end today's teaching, let's celebrate Holy Communion, right? Are you with me? What does Holy Communion demonstrate to us? The reality of a continual Passover. Passover where? Into the Mount of the Lord. Can you catch that? How? By faith. Whose faith? The faith of Jesus Christ becoming our faith in Him. Right? That's why the Passover can take place. That's why you and I can stand in the Mount of the Lord. That's why you and I can become sons of the living God. That's why you and I can call ourselves prophets, priests, and kings unto God. Otherwise, how on earth can we ever even think of becoming such? Are you with me? What is the reality that establishes that Passover? That reality is prophetically called David. The root of David and the offspring of David. The priests and prophets and kings that God has ordained, a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood of prophets and kings. Amen? That is the Passover that we are celebrating. That is the bride of the Lamb. Amen? Now don't think all this is beyond you. It is not beyond you because of the faith of Jesus Christ. If it was your faith, it will never come to pass. You can forget about it. But because it is the faith of Jesus Christ, all things will come to pass because He fulfilled the law and the prophets. It will be fulfilled in you and me because of Jesus Christ coming alive in us. That was His prayer, I in them. And everything becomes possible. Amen? Right. So don't think we are teaching things that are beyond you. No, nothing is beyond you. It's only as big as Jesus is in your heart. It is His process of teaching you. Right? The Holy Spirit is there to teach you, but you must respond to what you are hearing from God. All right? You have to respond. God will do the supernatural, but you must provide the heart. God will create. God will fashion. God will open that Passover. God will facilitate that Passover. But you have to provide the heart and the response. Amen? And that's what this Holy Communion really represents. Our response to God. Remember me. The memorial name. Who am I to you? That's what God is asking you. Every time we celebrate this Holy Communion, are you still looking at all the impossibles that I'm expecting out of your life? And you're still looking at it and you're trying, how on earth am I going to achieve all this? Wrong basis to evaluate God's desires in your life. Amen. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. By whom? By God. You are created in Christ Jesus. You are the workmanship of the Father, made manifest by the Holy Spirit. Amen. In a reality that is called a Passover. And that Passover is a creative miracle. Everything about it is miraculous. If it was not, then you and I would never receive it. Amen. It is because it is supernatural that you and I can receive it. And whatever you find difficult, take it back to the Lord. Talk to Him. Your own weaknesses, address it with God. Who else can handle sin but God? And once you realize that, what is the problem? What is the problem? You lack the intelligence. Who has the intelligence? God has the intelligence. You lack the understanding. Who has the understanding? It is personified in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is personified in His faith for you. Amen. It's only a question of time. But everything has been given. In Him you are made complete, the Word of God says. In Him we have all been made complete because we have all received of His fullness. So what is the problem? So as we celebrate this Holy Communion, let's put aside the problems and the impossibilities. All things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. That's why the great apostle wrote that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Who strengthens you? Christ strengthens me. How does Christ strengthen me? By His faith for me. Who else is saving you? By whose faith are you being saved? By whose faith are you being saved? By the faith of Jesus Christ for you and me. It is personal. He is the mediator of the covenant of life in your heart and in your mind. There is nobody else who can mediate that covenant. So how is He mediating that covenant? By His faith for you and me. If there was no such thing, you and I would never receive the things of God. That's why Satan was so sure that if he could inject sin into Adam and Eve, he could defeat God. That's why he was so sure. With all of his intelligence, he thought this is the perfect plan by which I can defeat God. He never heard of the Passover. He never heard of the Passover. His intelligence could not understand such a thing as a Passover. He forgot that God was the creator God. That He could create. That He could fashion a faith that could pull us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And that is a Passover. It is a living and growing Passover for each one of us. Amen. And nobody can stop us, right? Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you that we have the privilege of being able to partake of this Holy Communion, Father. Father, this is the reality of your memorial name, fulfilled in each one of our lives. And as we partake of this Holy Communion, Father, we are seeing the fulfillment of that memorial name in each one of our lives here, and in the lives of our brethren across the world and in the heavenly places. The church, O God, militant, and the church triumphant, Father, that will surely see victory, O God, in the heavenly places, when every work of darkness is destroyed in the excellence of Christ Jesus, made manifest through each one of us, Father. And we celebrate this by the faith of Jesus Christ for us, Father. We celebrate this in our faith in Him, the faith that has been given to us by your own righteousness, Holy Father. Sanctify therefore these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us in your Holy Spirit, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that as we partake, we will receive of Him by your Spirit in all of His fullness, Father. Because of His fullness we have all received, grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Were realized, Father. It has been given. We are receiving, Father God, and we thank you for persevering with us so that we will receive. As Enoch received the witness from you, Father, we too will receive the witness, and a bride will rise clothed with the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Clothed with Christ Jesus. Clothed in His excellence. Clothed in His beauty. Clothed in His faith. Clothed by His Spirit. Clothed in His wonder, Father. Expressing, O God, a glorious reality of all that He has accomplished in His own merits. And we celebrate this fulfillment in this Holy Communion. And we bless you, Father, for having this, O Lord, as your will, Father, for our lives. Holy Spirit, we thank you for ministering the law of life to us today. The law of faith by which we can all live. And we thank you that this is a reality that will surely be established in us in Christ Jesus and brought alive into us by the Holy Spirit. We thank you for this realization in Jesus' name. Amen. Sanctify therefore these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us in your Holy Spirit the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, his fullness made manifest to us, so that we can live by him, so that we can live through him. And we thank you as we receive this, that this will be the fullness that will bring us forth as a new creation in Christ Jesus. We bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you that you sent forth your Son as the living bread that came down out of heaven, Father. We thank you that of his fullness we have all received, and that fullness is made manifest to us by his Spirit and his life. That is the bread of life that we receive, Father. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. The I am that is the bread of life, Father, is of his Spirit and of his life. And it becomes, O God, the hypostasis, the substance of our faith, the confidence that enables us to become, O God, actual partakers of Christ. We bless you, Father, that as Christ is formed in us, we will surely rise to worship you in spirit and in truth. We see this realization coming forth, not just in one or two people, Father, but in an entire body of Christ, the bride of the Lamb. We bless you and thank you as we celebrate this reality coming forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, the blood of the Lamb, the reality of your faithfulness and your love, Father, the witness that testifies, O God, to a faithful and true God, the witness of the truth that sets us free, the blood that guarantees for us a future, Father, the blood that tells us that we are loved with an everlasting love, Father, the blood testifies of the fact that we are saved, Father. And as we partake of the blood of the Lamb, we thank you, Father, that we shall live forever because he shed his blood for us. And we know, Father, that by that blood we receive his life. We thank you for the life of Jesus that works within us, the power of his resurrection that is released into us through the blood of the Lamb. We bless you and we thank you as we receive in Jesus' name. Amen. The verse that I missed earlier is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. But such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Very important that we understand it. That's why the law of the Spirit of life is very important. The proper understanding of faith. It has to be in Christ Jesus and it has to be alive by the Holy Spirit. Then that faith will justify us. Then everything that comes forth by that faith will be good work that God has predestined from before the beginning of time. So if we can understand that it is all in Christ Jesus and it's brought alive by the Holy Spirit, we will see God do great things in our lives by Christ Jesus through the Spirit. In Jesus' name, shall we pray? Father, we thank you that we belong to you. We thank you for this teaching that you gave us, Father. We thank you, Father, that by faith we are able, O God, to draw the treasures of your heart. We are able to draw the realities by which we can live in a supernatural reality, entirely fashioned in your name. What a great privilege, O Father. The privilege of becoming sons of the living God. The privilege that you have opened into our hearts and into our minds in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Teach us to respond to the leadings of the Holy Spirit, Father, so that we will be taught by you so as to receive Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. Not in our intellect, but in a heart that is alive to you, in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we commit our lives into your hands, and we pray, Lord, that you will teach us that what is brought alive into us will be truly of Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.